A homily for the fifth Sunday of Easter. There is a boldness that is unique and is explicitly found in the Christian faith and not in any other religion in the world. And it is a bold claim that there is only one way to the Father, and it is through the unique person of Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church had from the very beginning taught that there is no salvation outside the Church. And we see this articulated in the writings of St. Cyprian of Carthage, a bishop in the 3rd century. It was later in the 19th century when Pope Pius IX added one word to this strong statement with the word visible. Vatican II's reformulation of the phrase is thus, there is no salvation outside the visible Church. This gives the familiar doctrine a charitable qualification, because it allows for the case of what the Church calls invincible ignorance, where a person acts with no willful fault of his own in not becoming a disciple of Christ, and it could be rather due to a lack of proper understanding if he does not accept baptism and through it be saved. But what is unchanged is that God offers grace to all human beings, and all salvation to all human beings is in the Catholic Church, or at least directed toward it, as the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth. So we need to know that there are cases where there is this invincible or excusable ignorance, which is Pope Pius IX's qualification, where there is perhaps a mistaken sincerity of conscience. And because of that, because one knows imperfectly, one also then approaches God imperfectly. And this is seen where people continue to live as believers and devotees of other religions or even Christian sects. The Church says that there is still some grace working there, but the full operation of grace is only completed when one is incorporated fully into the Catholic Church. Pope Pius IX, therefore, reformulated the centuries-old teaching, which was rather narrowly and strictly defined. But where does the Catholic Church get this boldness to hold on to such exclusivity? We find this in no other place than Jesus' own words in the Gospels, where among other things that he declares that he is, like saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way that anyone can come to the Father is by him. In some ways, he is further defining how he is the gate, and we saw how Jesus said this in last week's Gospel text. Of course, this bold truth is admittedly thorny and contentious for a number of reasons, one of which is because it nullifies the effectiveness of other religions and even of other Christian denominations of enabling their devotees to be brought to the Father in life and afterlife. As well, this statement, if used imprudently and defined very narrowly, can lead Catholicism to sound extremely triumphant, especially when one's tone is somewhat standoffish and imperious, and as such, becomes something that works against rather than for evangelization and the salvation of souls. Added to all that are the many scandals of the Church in its history. These have not helped much to further the point that in Christ alone is the way to the Father, when the Church, which is the visible presence of Christ in the world, which has been deputized to be the keeper and the bearer of the fullness of truth, had its share of bad behavior and missteps. To be sure, the purpose of this homily isn't to exonerate ourselves for our past sins and mistakes as a Church, but, and this is where it is relevant to every Catholic listening to this, to remind all Catholics of how imperative and even non-negotiable it is that we live lives that show how the Catholic Church is to be the living example of what it is to live not just for a future heaven, but also how it can be heaven on earth. Only when we do that well as a collective body of Christ can our words of evangelization ring true, especially because our lives then become living testimonies of this truth. I'm afraid to say that the opposite is just as true, and unfortunately, the opposite seems to be more prevalent, much to our detriment and abysmal failure in our evangelizing efforts. And what is this opposite that I'm talking about? That very, very few Catholics appear to live lives that speak loudly of Catholic teachings, are grounded steadfastly in solid doctrinal foundations, and are people who know the rich and even scandalous history of the Church, and yet live out their Christian lives with joy that is evident, and in doing so, bear good testimony. Very few Catholics can confidently say that, by their lives, that God the Father is put on grand display. Now, why is this important? Because this is what Jesus did by his own life and by his obedience and surrender to the will of the Father whom he loved with his whole being. It was his mission to, by his life, death, and resurrection, reveal who God the Father is to the world, and in so doing, make it possible for us sinners to enjoy the same kind of union with God at the end of our lives on earth. Now, is this a high calling? Without a doubt, it is. If you think about it seriously enough, union with God, the creator of the universe and all that exists, is the absolute highest calling anyone can receive and the greatest promise that one can live for. No other cause or religion gives you access or even dares to give this much hope. In other words, no hope is a higher hope. But this comes at a price that is also a very high one. It cost Jesus his life to make this possible. And it will probably cost us a lot as well, as we strive to be as loving as he was loving, as forgiving as he was forgiving, as full of charity and peace as he was full of charity and peace, and as selfless as he was selfless. As it cost Jesus to stand up to injustice and to stand boldly on the side of truth, our being clear about our faith will also cost us to stand up to injustice and to stand just as boldly on the side of truth. And just as Jesus wasn't ambivalent at all when it came to sin, to be clear and effective witnesses of God's presence in the world, we too cannot afford to be ambivalent or unsure or unclear about sin. Perhaps it is also true that many Catholics are not prepared to pay this high price by living a clear life that is both clear and kind and joyful at the same time. That there is this low take-up rate when it comes to being true and effective evangelizers to the world. Where does one get this kind of boldness and brazenness to live out one's Catholicity so courageously? Well, it comes firstly from how firmly one allows Jesus to be the foundation stone of one's life. This was what Peter was so clear about when he wrote in his first letter, which was our second reading this Sunday. He makes use of the analogy of how the Church is a spiritual house that is made up of different stones. Each baptized person in the Church is a different stone, and together we form the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which is founded on the person of Jesus Christ. In choosing the correct material to build a physical structure, one doesn't settle for just any kind of stone that one can come across. For a structure to withstand the tests that consists of the test of time and the test of the exposure to the elements well, the material used shouldn't be porous, shouldn't be soft, and not workable in that they cannot be cut. as well, they need to be able to hold up to the pressure to resist the load that the stones will bear. In every Catholic Christian is a stone in the entire edifice of the Catholic Church. It is imperative that each Catholic have those properties that were just described, in that he needs to be resilient, strong, able to withstand pressure applied to his life, and be open to be shaped and cut by the master stone cutter, and that he have Jesus as his cornerstone of his own life. These are qualities that one will find extremely challenging to embody as long as one isn't open to the Holy Spirit in life. Jesus speaks about the deep union that exists between the Father and himself, and the life of the Holy Spirit, which is the love between the Father and the Son. This is what empowered Jesus at every moment of his life. In the weeks to come, the liturgies of both the weekday Masses and Sunday Masses will feature numerous references to the Holy Spirit, leading us up to the great feast of Pentecost, where we experience a new and rich outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the entire Church. Only when we cooperate with humility the various promptings of the Holy Spirit to want to do God's will above our will, the Church will be the strong edifice showing God's presence to the world, most especially at this very crucial moment in the world's history. I believe that only then can Jesus be clearly seen as the way to the Father, the truth of the Father, and bring every soul to the life of the Trinity. God love you.